You know him from the Smiley Morning Show.
Now he's got his own show. Radio Theology is on ZPL.
If you think I'm going to take care of my own backside, you're in for a big surprise.
Wrapped up in a bag and bound and over the head of the
mirror. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't know what flight I'm supposed to be on. I just need an adult.
So you couldn't get to your travel destination and sit on the beach in 10 all week.
Really hard not to pee here, guys.
Oh. You just picked up a poop nugget.
With your foot.
You guys gotta taste these Jimmy Chums.
You can see me. Speak to me.
Yeah, that when a mommy loves a daddy, they hug in a special way.
Sure, if you want me to. I'm here for 2 years, by the way.
Oh. Is someone sauteing onions?
Here's Pub Pastor Darren.
Radio Theology here on 99.5 ZPL. Good morning, Indiana.
Good morning.
Yeah.
So good to be back with you guys. It's 7 a.m.
Oh, baby.
Get up. Rise and shine.
Let's do
campers.
It.
Get your coffee.
My dad used to say that every time he would wake me up. Rise and shine, campers.
You're like, Dad, I'm not in a tent.
Yeah, we're not a camp, Dad. Not a camp. Put the squirt gun away. No. And my dad would give me like three opportunities to get up. You know what I mean? And the third time, he would come and squirt me with a squirt gun. I hated that.
That's cool.
And no, it was terrible.
That's a total dad move.
We promise not to squirt you with anything this morning. We're just going to try to give you a little faith, hope, and love over the next 3 hours. And hey, guys, this way, it's Veterans Day weekend.
Yes.
Big shout out to all of our vets out there. Near and dear to our hearts, right, Rhino?
That's right. Yeah, my dad served for 22 years in the Navy. Big shout out to L. Alwert.
Absolutely.
And you and your dad?
Oh, my dad. He is a veteran of the Vietnam War.
All right.
He's a Marine.
Yeah, Semper Fi, baby.
Yeah, yeah. My dad's got this awesome tattoo in his arm that says, this Marine will go to heaven because he serves his time in hell.
Ooh.
Yeah. Whoa. And as a kid, when I would see that, I would be like, Dad, you're so awesome. Anyway, big shout out to Dave Early Wine and all of our vets out there. If you see a vet, if you know a vet today, make sure you thank them for their service and the time and the life and the blood, sweat, and tears they poured into to defending and serving our great country.
Yeah.
And we'll be doing that all weekend long. Hey, we're going to be with you till 10 a.m., and it's going to be a blast today. When we come back from this song, don't go anywhere. Jam out to this song. 3 minutes, come back. We're going to talk about the Enneagram. I don't know if you've heard about this. It helps you understand a little bit about your personality.
All right.
How you're put together, maybe some of your functions, possible dysfunctions.
Mm. No.
And I've been digging into mine a little further.
Uh-huh.
Just discovered I'm a freaking mess. Radio Theology brought to you by Olivet Nazarene University right here on 99.5 ZPL. Darren Earlywine, your host here with Lisa Graff, Ryan Alwert. And I want to thank the tons of people that, for whatever reason, we had a big week on Facebook, guys.
We did.
Yeah.
Lots of likes. We went with it. We thank you for all those folks that are following us on Facebook, Instagram, on all the socials. If you haven't done it, jump on. Just search Radio Theology. We're the only one out there, number one in the world.
That's right. Woo-hoo! And by logic, also dead last.
Yeah, well, let's focus on the positive, Ryan. Speaking of that, that's evidently what I do in my Enneagram.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this morning.
Okay.
And a couple weeks ago, visited with Holly, my counselor.
All right.
And she said, hey, I want you to go take this Enneagram test. Have you guys heard of it?
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
Okay. So it's I don't know how long ago it came into being, but it's getting more and more popular. So I went to a website. There's various ones out there. I did like the $10 test where it tells you there's 9 types of personalities in this. And so my main type, it's interesting. My main type is a 7.
Okay, what's that mean?
It means like my phrase in life is more is better.
Okay.
So for me, looking at that, like my passion, it kind of has your passion and your fixation. It says that my passion is gluttony, which that's awesome.
Yeah.
I feel great about that. And my fixation is planning. So it goes through. This says I am the eternal Peter Pan. I want to try everything at least once.
Huh.
I deny any negative feelings to see the world as a happy place.
Okay.
And that basically is true. So now every time I go to counseling, Holly, my counselor, is always like, you need to just focus on being bored for a while.
And you're like, does not compute.
Well, we could do that, or you could just, you know, put a stake through my eye. One of the two.
Right. Yeah.
So there's this app that I have breaks it down for the childhood wound.
Ooh.
Oh, we're going deep right now.
We're
going
to go deep.
Okay.
Deep weeds here. These children in type 7s were deprived of nurturing, or it was too soon removed. They handled this lack of searching for distractions to minimize or repress the fear and pain. They decided to focus on positive options and rely on themselves to fulfill their desires and gain a sense of nurturance.
Okay,
is
that
true?
Yeah, is that accurate? I mean, was that your story?
Yeah, I think it's kind of true. Like, I don't know. like my parents were awesome. I'm not sure when like I was denied the nurture there.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is so much of that type is true. But when I took the test, it kind of tells you like one of your wings, like where you kind of go. And the other one for me is a type one.
Okay.
Which this is really fascinating as I went into this one. This one says, I'm always working toward being good. Making things right isn't everyone. And so this one says that the childhood wound for this one, and this is interesting, that the fixation for this one is resentment and the passion is anger, which is an interesting thing. But it says that these children felt heavily criticized, punished, or not good enough. Household rules may have felt inconsistent. As such, they became obsessed with being good or not making mistakes to avoid condemnation. The principal message was, you must always be better than you are. Here's what I thought about as I read this.
Okay.
Growing up in a religious home and as a pastor's kid, in a very like, you know, in a the holiness tradition is the kind of church I grew up in.
Sure.
So very legalistic, very holiness is, as I read that, I think like my personality has been like who I am and then kind of what growing up in a really religious home did to me.
Okay.
So it's like, I think I'm a type seven, but I also a lot of times present as a type one.
Ooh, okay.
Because I'm trying to make everything okay and be good enough. Like within church circles.
Like a character of a character.
Yes.
Like a version of a version of yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, that is why I am really jacked up right there.
Yes.
And your quote in life was more is better?
Yeah, more is better. So that is like if I had two, if there were two philosophies that you would say, so Darren, what are you about? I would say, well, more is always better. And then I would go with the other one and say, but you know, I'm always working towards being good, making things right. Isn't everyone?
Hmm.
Like those would sum me up. Which is tough because, like, on Friday night, I'm like, I'm ready to party.
You sounded like Oprah.
Yeah. I was trying to sound like
Kristen Wiig on Bridesmaids. I got it.
Oh, got it. Sorry. Yeah.
So that's like party Darren on a Friday. And then there's like Pastor Darren. You know what I mean? I'm kind of like
Sunday,
Jesus. Like, I'm kind of cool, but I like to party.
I like to imagine my Jesus with like a tuxedo t-shirt on.
Yes. 99.5 ZPL. It's Radio Theology with you here this morning from 7 to 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. We're your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and music. Trying to make a conversation about, you know, faith, hope, love, stuff like that, more normative for your life. Find a way to lift your spirits. And we've talked about this whole Enneagram thing before. Have you guys heard of the Enneagram?
I have, yes.
Yeah.
It's like a personality kind of profile test, helps you figure out maybe some of the ways you react to the world under stress or in healthy ways and where that started. I took it a couple of weeks ago. My wife and I took it as a couple. I'm a type 7, which means that I think more is better in life in general.
Okay.
Which doesn't always help. And my wife is actually a 6. That's kind of a 1. So it was really insightful. We spent a lot of time discovering and really talking about, hey, how does this interact with each other? And you guys just took the Enneagram assessment. We'll go ladies first. Lisa, let us know.
Okay. I'm a type 2.
Ooh, let me go to the app and pull up your profile.
Pull it up. I am the supportive advisor.
The helper, yes.
Yes.
Your quote here, I try to be loved by loving.
Right. I think that's so true. And also, this is one of my summaries from yourenneagramcoach.com. People who see the world through relationships and define themselves through service to others. So that's totally me.
Well, that makes
like,
sense,
the
too.
Whole world is relationships to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing with Mother of the Year. I am Mother of the Year.com, too.
Right. I mean, exactly.
You're helping moms out.
Exactly. So I might be selfless and loving and giving and all this stuff. Or,
wah,
wah.
Flip that coin over.
I could be dependent, prideful, or hostile.
Oh.
Ooh.
So this is what happens when you and Ryan, your husband, Ryan, are at home and things don't go right.
Yes.
You get a little bit hostile.
And a little prideful, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all a little prideful. Now I'm like, why am I saying this? Shut up. And my inner self is like, don't say this
There's
out loud.
There's only tens of thousands of people listening.
It's no problem. I think I am right most of the time with our kids because I'm like, well, I spend most of the time with them. I'm mothering them. Blah, blah. You go to work and thank you for the work and the paycheck and, you know, the stuff. But
you're wrong.
But you're wrong about how you're parenting right now because you don't even know because blah, blah, blah. So I do get a little prideful in my parenting.
Well, this says, in the app I'm looking at, we can talk about your childhood wound. So, Lisa, I want you to just lay back on the couch over there, go to a happy place, and let's see if we can identify your childhood wound. It says this. These children felt loved only if they were helping or pleasing others. Their personal needs felt selfish, and as a result, they closed off their own needs and feelings and tuned into those of others. Love became defined as giving to others though the love the love often didn't feel received or reciprocated. Does that hit a chord?
That does sound like my high school boyfriend.
Wait a second. Oh my, tell us more.
I think, yes, probably. Yeah, I'm a middle child, so I was always the peacekeeper. I hate discord. Mm. I hate confrontation. Mm. I steer away from that for sure. So it is a lot of, like, and still now, if I'm unhealthy and not taking care of myself and having, you know, poor boundaries, then I am like forgetting all about myself. And I am like, I'm going to fix you. I'm going to give you everything, all my energy and time and blah, blah, blah. And I'm no better for it.
Wow. So, you know, I think one of the things that I think is key in a lot of the work I do as a pastor is I think it's so important that we're always growing in our knowledge of ourself and our knowledge of God, right? Like, who am I? Who is God? And then who am I because of my relationship with him?
Yeah.
So this, like, I mean, we're joking, right? Making fun, been having a good time on a radio show, but like the childhood wound stuff, like you're saying, as you went through this, there was some like eye-opening moments where like, ooh, that is not healthy. And there could be some pain there.
Yeah.
But like, obviously part of it is it's our job to talk about it on the radio, but it, you don't seem freaked out. You seem like you're balanced in being able to deal with this. So not that it's not scary, but what's giving you the ability to go, I will be able to kind of look at some of these painful parts of my life, but not feel so totally freaked out.
Well, part of it is my faith, knowing that like my identity is in Christ, and that sounds kind of totally churchy, but it's true. It's like God made me for an absolute purpose. I'm just trying to figure it out and do the best I can, and he's going to love me anyway. And so, and then the other part is like your past is in the past. And so when you're looking back, and you're already free from that if you want to be. And so that's the choice I keep making is as I look through painful memories in my past, I'm like, yeah, that happened. How did I move through it, past it, whatever? Am I better for it today? I don't want it to have any power over me.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. Listen, Ryan, you're not off the hook because after the break,
oh,
we're going to dive in.
We're going to make you cry.
Great.
Coming up right after this, Radio Theology here on 99.5 ZPL. We're your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and music. Maybe if you just need a touch, not a ton. Not too much. Just a sprinkling of faith, hope, and love. That's what we're here to do. And Ryan, before the break, we're talking about this Enneagram personality profile thing. We all did it. It's changing our lives step by step. We're gaining more knowledge of ourselves, a little more knowledge of God, and how those all mix around.
Mm.
Ryan, drop it on us. What are you?
I am a type three.
I'm a type three,
which is the achiever.
Yes. Your quote for life is, get to the top and look good doing it.
Oh, my.
Hello.
So the good things, type threes, this is according to Your Enneagram Coach on Instagram. They are responsible, efficient, and entrepreneurial. Threes are able to adapt quickly to any given situation or scenario that is brought up. And they are incredibly talented and good at setting goals, motivating, and solving problems for others. The thing that jumps out to me about the adaptability to, respond to any given situation, that is 100% accurate. Because when I was a kid, I grew up in a Navy family. So we were moving every 2 to 3 years on average. And so especially in a new environment, like a new school, it was like, all right, new classroom of friends to learn who's kind of making things happen socially and how do I blend in? And then not until high school when I actually was grounded like in one spot for a while did that kind of, I was like, oh, wow, now I'm actually in the mix for a long, long time as opposed to just got to improvise quickly.
Yeah.
So. Well, on the app here, talks to your childhood wound. So Ryan, lay back on the counseling couch here.
We're going to
dive
there.
Into Ryan's child. He's given us the appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the main course. To the heart, Ryan.
Yep.
It says, these children felt rewarded only for what they did and how well they did it. Their feelings were disconnected and ignored. Only their performance and what was expected of them mattered. This harmed their ability to love themselves and others. Admiration replaced real love.
Ooh,
You
cut to the core of me, Baxter. man, that's interesting. Yeah, like the shadow side of being a performer, because I've been on a lot of stages. I mean, started performing when I was in literally like first grade and still am performing to this day. But yeah, I think I've done very well and learned how to make a lot of very shallow, wide friendships.
Mm.
But I think what I really, really want is to be known at a deep level by a few amount of people that really are invited into my life and vice versa.
Well, I think that's health, though, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the kind of other shadow side that I always have to deal with is like feeling like I always have to be kind of on.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and not being really fully known and kind of like going into an environment, dance, monkey, dance, and then I'm out. And that can be exhausting of kind of like this big who am I kind of
but you know, I
struggle.
Think, what I think you're hitting that, Ryan, I think maybe what you can identify with, you know, you, I'm talking to you driving to your car right now, is there are things in your life that work for you. Like for you, Ryan, performing works.
Yeah, I find a lot of life on stage.
Like, yeah, it's a positive thing that you've adapted to be able to do because of your environments. But as a human being, we're not just performers.
Right.
Right. And for Lisa, you were saying for you, self-care and being able to please people, great strength.
Right.
But if you ignore your need to be loved and that deep stuff, all of a sudden your batteries are on empty and there's none left of the good. So that sounds like for what you're saying, Ryan, is that's kind of there with the performing. And I think for some people, for you driving right now, you may have things that are working for you that maybe you even get celebrated for. But if you're not clear on why you're doing them, what wound could be there, you may be, you know, emptying yourself of really what you need for one to be happy and be able to continue on and be loving and be there for the people that are around you and be there for yourself.
Amen to that, man. Yeah, for me, it's like I've had to step back at moments in my life, even in adult life, you know, and listen to what God is telling me about who I am in his eyes without any performance. You know, it's like, I see you at your best and your worst.
Yeah.
And I love you the exact same in those moments. And sometimes that can be hard to wrap my head around, but just living out of that reality as opposed to I've got to perform or impress God with the things I'm able to do. And man, I'm in ministry too. Like that's the thing. Like that's my full-time role is leading a ministry of high school kids in Fishers where it's like, man, talk about like being on a platform and expecting certain results, yet I'm doing it for and with God. It's like, oh, cut through the whole doing this for God. And I'm like, oh, no, I get to do this with God.
There you go.
And I can just be me as opposed to this performer achiever version of me. Yeah. So
I love it, guys. Listen, I'm so proud of you. I
mean, it's thank not, you, Counselor
it's not,
Darren.
It's not easy, you know what I mean. Notice we've skipped my segment.
Right.
Maybe I'll jump in the pool later. But listen, that's what I really love that we can do on our show. You know what I'm saying, guys? And that's what I wonder. If you're listening to the show right now, we're not here to push religion on anybody. We're not even here to invite you to go to church. What I want to invite you into, if you're listening to Radio Theology, is listen. I believe there's a God that loves you absolutely as you are. And you're here on purpose and for a purpose. And the reality of that is it's not about going to church or stopping doing the bad stuff. You know what I mean? Stop smoking and drinking or whatever and cussing. No, the point is to discover why you were created and that there is actual purpose and meaning behind it. And when you can connect purpose and meaning to pain in your life, suffering and pain actually has meaning, right? Meaningless suffering, the human soul cannot handle. But when we can bring meaning and purpose to a sense of suffering or pain, it can be reformed and redeemed and actually become fuel to move our life forward. And that's what we hope we can do for you in little segments here. God bless you. We love you.
Wow.
This is Radio Theology on 99.5 ZPL. Radio Theology here on 99.5 ZPL, presented by Olivet Nazarene University. We are your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and music. And just, you know, we're not too churchy, right? We're not being like super Bible thumping like religious folks.
No.
Right.
No.
We're just giving you a seasoning. Just a taste.
A little bit of flavor.
Just a little bit of flavor. Like maybe you like your life, or maybe you hate your life, but you're thinking, you know what I could use? Just a little bit of seasoning. That's what we're doing every Sunday morning from 7 to 10. Darren Earlywine here with Lisa Graff, Ryan Allwirt. And each week we do a bit called Lisa's Pieces. Lisa, you bring us some pieces of your life. And right now you are on cloud nine. You are just high on life because you are creating the future, bringing hope to the world with this whole motheroftheyear.com situation.
Yes.
Tell us about that real quick.
Yeah, so I launched this website this week to help encourage moms and build a tribe of moms who are encouraged and celebrated and committed to helping other moms feel the exact same way. You can find it at IamMotherOfTheYear.com. But anyway, so I'm in this brain space of like...
But hey, before you go anywhere, I just want to say, Ryan and I are so proud of you.
Yeah.
Thank you,
guys. Yes. You had a dream. You had an idea. And you brought it to bear upon the world.
Yes.
So
exactly.
Good.
And I didn't even know. So, and part of this deal is Mother of the Year Award stickers that you can give. It's a tangible way for you to give a mom boost of encouragement. Love instead it. Of saying, hey, you're doing a great job, say that, but give her a sticker
yes.
too.
Hmm.
Create this moment with a stranger or with your best friend. Doesn't really matter. But when I walked over to Ryan and Lauren, our neighbors, I walked over to their house to hand deliver the first sticker. And Lauren was like, oh my gosh, I'm holding your dream in my hand. And I was like, pow, pow. Like my mind was blown. I hadn't even thought of it that way.
Wow.
I was like, my stickers are here. Wow. I pack up the kids and like basically sprint over. Like my kids can't even keep up with me. I'm like, let's go, Josie. She's like, Mom. You know, I'm like, let's go give the first sticker. And I hadn't even thought, like, I'm holding my dream in my hand. Amazing. And I'm like, it's so far beyond me. It's amazing.
And it made a big impact on Lauren, by the way. So
yes,
thank you.
Good. Yeah. Yes. And so then a couple of days ago, I'm on Facebook, duh. And there's a clip from Steve Harvey that talks about if you can see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. And I was like, oh my gosh, I did that. Yeah. I want everyone to do that. And instead of trying to channel my inner Steve Harvey,
yes.
we're just going to let him take it from here. But anyway, if you're in the space or if you're parenting kids and trying to help them foster their dreams, like, ooh, take this, soak it in, Google it, listen to it every day. It's amazing. And try not to cry.
My father came home. She said, Slick, which was my daddy's nickname, your boy been up at the school being a smart aleck. Now, I already know I'm going to get a whipping for this. She said, tell him what you wrote on your paper. And I said, I want to be on TV. And my father said, well, what's wrong with that? And she said, well, he being a smart actor, putting something like that that's unbelievable on the paper. So my father said, Bill, how come the boy can't put on the paper he want to be on TV? So they were starting to get into an argument, so I got sent to my room, which I knew what that meant. That means go in your room, get ready. We're going to get this whooping, right? So I go in my room, and after having a discussion, my father came in the room. He said, all right, this is what I want you to do. What does she want you to put on your paper? I said, I don't know, Daddy, like a basketball player, what all the rest of the kids wrote. He said, well, put that on the paper. Take that to school tomorrow and give it to her. Take your paper and put it in your drawer. Every morning when you get up, read your paper. And every night before you go to bed, read your paper. That's your paper. What he told me was a principle of success, that if you write it down, and envision it. Anything you see in your mind, you can hold in your hand. He knew that. And so he gave that to me. After that, every year when the teacher was living, I used to send her a TV for Christmas because I wanted her to see me. She saw me one year and she said, boy, you send me all these TV from wherever you are. And you don't understand, I got too many TV. I had to get these TVs away sometime. I know, it's all right though. And I kept that paper. And that little boy with the stuttering problem is on TV 7 days a week. Yeah, I'm on TV. All the time, you dig?
It's the thought of the day with Pastor Darren.
You know, I'd like to believe we live in a neutral world. Like, I'd like to believe that we live in a world where bad things or tragic things were just like random accidents. I don't want to believe that we live in a world where evil things happen. And I really don't want to believe that we live in an evil world where they happen on purpose. Now, that just doesn't seem to be the nice and clean or fair, like safe place that I really want to live in. But God says that our struggle in this earth isn't actually against flesh and blood. It's not against each other, but the real battle is against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Because yet again, the news feed is full of what can only be described as pure evil. Last Sunday morning, a small community of believers gathered to do what they did every Sunday. They gathered to worship God, to love each other, to pray, to sing to God. But during their worship, an evil man broke through the door with a gun. And before he was done shooting, 26 people were dead, one of them as young as 1 year old. So the bad news is that evil has struck again, another battle that evil has won. And I don't like that fact. In fact, I hate the way that feels. But I do have some good news this morning, is that even though evil may have won another battle, I really believe that Jesus has already won the war. I actually believe that our universe is at war. The battle's not at, you know, between presidents or diplomats or countries or even military forces. I really believe that above or below it all, that there's a spiritual battle raging between good and evil. The good news this morning is that the war is ultimately won. God teaches us that through Jesus' death and resurrection, evil has been ultimately defeated. However, its final sentence has yet to be executed. And until that time, each day, a battle still rages. It rages in my life. It rages in your life. And every day we contribute to which side is winning the given battles for our lives. You know, this morning on Radio Theology, we also heard from Pastor John Owens. John's a great guy, and he's starting a church here in our great city. And this morning, he shared the heart-wrenching but yet inspirational story about how evil tried to destroy his life. You see, when John was 8 years old, he was sexually abused. And that abuse, that evil, it almost kept John from becoming who he was born to be. Evil won that battle in John's life. But then John actually shared a really good part of the story, that Jesus had actually won the war in his life, that Jesus had brought healing and hope to his life. And it's that victory that John hopes to share with tons of people as he starts this new church in town called the City of Lights Church. Evil will win some battles, but love has won the war. So I'd like to encourage you this morning and say, you know, listen, nothing bad is ever going to happen again. I'd like to say that we found the perfect solution and that you don't have to worry about it. Just sit back and relax because everything's going to be okay. But that's not true, and I can't make that promise. But one promise I do have, it's from Jesus. He's promised to love us and to never leave us or forsake us. He's promised that as we partner with him, that he will give us the strength to see faith and hope and love win the battles in our lives. Now, you may not be able to change the whole world, but you do have a lot more power to see evil lose in your life and to see love win. You are more powerful than you think. And it's in these times of sorrow and confusion that we cry, we pray, and we mourn with those who mourn. But then we must take action to claim the victory that Jesus won, because evil may have won this battle, but love has and will win the war in your life, in my life, and in our world. And that, my friend, is your Radio Theology Thought of the Day.